one thing that I really appreciate about people who have taken that challenge of starting down the road, particularly in rehab, is that you have to be honest. Now, sometimes there's a bit of oversharing. Sometimes when you say to someone, "How are you?" and they're used to being, in group work, they tell you their life story, and you're thinking, "No, I wasn't thinking that." But they've got to be honest. In 1 John, I haven't given these scriptures to Ella, so don't look at the screen, look at your Bibles. This is the message we have heard, 1 John 1:5. From him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Fellowship one with another. You would expect that verse to say, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. But that's not what it says. We have fellowship with one another. Friendship begins when we're honest enough to say to each other who we really are. And the world has got us caught up to say, if people found out who I really was, they would reject me. And in some cases, that's the truth. But we need to create a culture where that doesn't happen. And the thing about people who've gone through rehab is that they faced the reality of who they are. They've looked in that mirror and said, "I don't like that." And they, most of them have said, I am an alcoholic. I am a drug addict. I am. And they're at that point, at that lowest point, it's where you start. It's the people who are still in denial. I haven't got a drink problem. I could hazard a guess that there are numbers of people who you deal with on a daily basis who, if they were really honest with themselves, would say that they use alcohol and perhaps drugs as a means to either control or numb or find solace. Well, yeah. But you're honest, Mark. You know where you're at. And when we start with that point, that's when we start with friendship, one with another. It's the people who are trying to hide in the darkness. If we claim to have to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And there's a couple of stories where I just see Jesus doing this. One is on the end of Luke on the road to Emmaus. And you know this story, maybe you do. Emmaus was a village which was 7 miles away from Jerusalem. So it's about here to Kongsbury, probably. And these disciples who had been following Jesus has died, and they are going to Emmaus. I don't know why, but that's where they're going. And Jesus comes alongside them, and they don't recognize him, but he starts talking with them. And this is a story of Jesus walking with two people who are going in the wrong direction, in the opposite direction to where they're expected to be. They're not waiting in Jerusalem, remembering his words. They're not waiting for the resurrection. They're disillusioned. It's all over for them. And yet Jesus walks with them the entire journey, 7 miles, and he arrives at the village late at night. But on that way, he's been explaining to them. He's been talking to them. He's been walking with them. He's been a friend to them. And so often what we do is we give people information, but we're not willing to journey with them, even when we know they're going in the wrong direction. We say, "Oh, no, that's not where you want to go. You should be doing what I'm doing," and we leave them. We say, "Well, you'll figure it out. Meet me on the way back." But not Jesus. Jesus walks with them. He walks with us. He keeps talking to us until our eyes are opened. We heard that today. Pete was saying it. Until our eyes are opened. And then suddenly at that point, they ran all the way back. I don't know how Jesus got there, but when they got back, Jesus arrived as well. So you can either take from that Jesus was fit enough to run 7 miles, Or you can take from that that Jesus was using some of his new resurrection skills to appear wherever he wanted to, whenever he wanted to. But needless to say, you know, that was Jesus saying, I can handle you going in the wrong direction. That doesn't cause me to reject you. And so much of what we've done with Christianity is turn it into information, is to turn it into, we're just going to tell you what we know. No one really wants to know what we know. Have you noticed that? In most times, we are answering questions that no one is asking. We're giving them an opinion that they've never asked for. And if you stop and listen, what people are saying is, will you be my friend? Will you travel with me? And what we need to say is, yeah, even though we think you might be going in the wrong direction, that doesn't mean we're not going to walk with you. Jesus was known as the friend of sinners. That was the thing that he was accused of more than anything else. He was willing to be friends with people who hadn't got it sorted out and hadn't got it right, but were at least admitting to it. Zacchaeus, same thing. The moment that he admitted, but it was as a result of knowing that Jesus was going to love them unconditionally. The second story is when we see Peter being reinstated. Many of you will know that Peter, I love Peter because he's going to get it done. He's going to save the world. Whatever Jesus says, yeah, we're going to do it. He gets it spectacularly right and spectacularly wrong, but there's no middle ground. There's no waiting for all the other disciples to say something before he says it. You know, if I asked a question here today, some of you will know the answer but won't say it. Some of you will wait until someone else gets it and then, oh yeah, that's the answer I thought. But Peter threw himself into it. One of the things he said was, I'll never leave you, Jesus. You know, everyone else might forsake you, but I'll never leave you. And Jesus says to him, as you will remember, actually, you will. And before the cockerel has crowed three times, you will deny me. And he didn't just deny him, but he called curses down on himself that he never knew him. He went the whole hog. He didn't say, well, maybe I have known him. He said, no, he completely refused him. So we see Jesus on the beach. He's done the same thing. He's got them to catch fish. Simon's gone back to the net. He's gone back to doing what he thinks he can do best. And then we hear Jesus at the end of John 21 in 15. He said, when he had finished eating, Jesus said to him, Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Some people have said that's the disciples. I think it's the fish. I think he's holding up one of the fish and going, do you love me more than these? Are you going to go back to doing this? I've just caught 153 for you. I can do this. But is this what you want to do? Or are you going to follow me? And when he's using that word love, he says, do you love me more than this? And Jesus is using the word agape. He's saying, do you completely love me? Do you love me unconditionally? And we've heard this maybe preached before. Peter says, you know I love you. And that word he's using there, he says, you know I'm your friend. Now, you can either take that to mean that Peter wasn't quite there yet. Or you can take it to mean that, you know what, Peter was going to be honest. Peter had gone down the road of saying, promising things he couldn't do. He said, I'm going to follow you. I'm never going to deny you. And he had. And here, I think what we find is a moment of reality where Peter says, you know what? I'm experiencing the unconditional love of God. So what's the point of pretending? If you found a place where you wouldn't be rejected when you told people what you were really thinking, that would be a fantastic place to be. It's supposed to be this place. It's supposed to be the church. It's supposed to be a community of people who say, I've been forgiven much, and therefore I'm not going to judge you because you know, I've got a log sticking out of my own eye. I'm not going to try and take the speck out of your eye. So Jesus asks him again, and he says, do you love me? Do you agape me? And he says, no. Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. And he says, you know I'm your friend. And then the third time Jesus says, this time he uses the word, so, will you be my friend? You know, do you love me? Will you be my friend? And it says that Peter was hurt at that point. But there's a sort of, you can either say he's hurt or he was offended. I don't think he was. I think there was a sense of reality that said, you know what, I can do that. That's what I can do. And from that, Jesus says, I can do that. I can work with that. I can build my church on that. God can't build on a foundation which is nonsense. And there's a lot of us that are desperately trying to live a Christian life that we think the world wants to see. And underneath the foundations, there is no foundations because there's no honesty. And we're desperate that we might get found out at any point, and then we'll be rejected. And so we're living a game and a lie. And part of it is pride in what we think we've done, and a lot of it is shame and hiding what we don't want people to see. And any of those things belong to the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light is when you can be yourself and be honest about yourself. Humility is you being just, this is who I am. And it doesn't affect my value. You can't do that until you know God, how much God loves you. You know, Scotty's figuring out how much God loves him. You know? And that is the most important thing. When he says, I know I'll never be alone again. You know? It's not, oh, now I know. As long as I stay clean and sober, God will be pleased with me. As long as I do the right things, God will be pleased with me. None of that matters when you know how valuable you are to him. And part of what we've been doing in terms of our teachings with pure love and so on and so forth, the purpose of pure love is not to identify kingdoms and this and that and the other. It is to figure out that you are valuable. That you are valuable because you are created in his image and in his likeness. And nothing you do or don't do will change your value. And once you get that, you can go, you know what? I think I can be honest. Now, I'm not suggesting necessarily that you tell everyone around. But you rob the enemy of power when you walk with one another in the light. When he says, if people found that about you, they'd reject you. If you can point to someone else and say, well, they know that about me and they haven't rejected me. You know, I know Scott is a Tottenham fan. I haven't rejected him for that. You know, we've got to get a group of people around us who are committed to us because of the love of God that we can journey with, who we can be honest with. And in that honesty, then God can start doing things. You can't mature in your Christian life and you can't be set free until you're willing to say, I'm trapped. I'm in bondage. I'm in a mess. Once you say that, and even Jesus, you know, when he was speaking to people, he said, what do you want me to do for you? They had to say, you know, I want to be healed. I want to have my sight back. If they just said, oh, please bless me, then that's what they would have got. God is waiting for us to have a degree of honesty. And that's why I love, you know, as I say, the guys who've been through rehab, been through Andrew House, they've done it tough. They have deconstructed themselves. They have gone to the why I do what I do. And then they have also said, I can't use it as an excuse. Scotty's dad died and he used that as an excuse. Well, my dad's died and I love my dad, so I'm going to drink. And it's very convenient, but it's not the truth of the matter. And the difference is that when his mum died, he could have used that as an excuse as well, but he didn't. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. And he remained in freedom. And he's used wisdom and he's been sensible and he's got friends around him who will help him out. But more than anything, it's an honesty of saying, this is where I'm at. And people around us saying, that's okay. We can handle that. What we can't handle is people who we know are in a mess and who just say the classic British, I'm fine. Father, I just thank you for Scotty. Thank you for Gerard and all the guys who have been through Andrew House and we have seen you do amazing things with. Thank you for friends. Thank you for people who have gathered around Scotty and will gather around each one of us. Those who will be honest with us and we can be honest with them. And Father, I thank you that you are not going to reject us. You do not leave us. You came to rescue us and you're not going to let go. And Father, I just pray that we would never forget that. Like that rainbow, your promise is that you'll never leave us and never forsake us. And that you are going after the least and the lost. And Father, you're rescuing. You're a God who just loves to snatch people out of the enemy's camp and place them back on a rock. Thank you that not only will you do that for Scotty, but you're going to do that for each one of us. As we listen to you and as we follow what you're saying and the timings of what you're asking us to do. And Father, I just pray that we'd have the courage to be honest with ourselves, with you, and with those around us who love us. That we would walk in the light as you are in the light. In Jesus' name. Amen.